Anna Oli Pop Rock Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rock de Pop Rock Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hey, det här är Hits från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rock Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I'm glad you did. Hey, I'm super, super duper excited for our guests today. They are the stars of a brand new, I think it recently dropped, new feature film. It's a Western, but it's a unique Western.
Welcome to Goldwood. By the way, there's a couple of big foreign-looking guys in there. Even bigger than you.
Bigger than me.
Job, come with us all.
Where are you fellas from?
We are from much smaller, humble country called Japan.
Let's take this for the town of Goldwood.
They are the most honored athletes in our entire nation. These two men like a samurai.
I haven't been expecting you.
I bet you have, Judge. You have 3 days to turn over all the gambling money. And if you don't, we're gonna come back here and we're gonna kill every man, every woman, and every child in Goldwood.
I know these townsfolk aren't fighters, but you two are. Will you help? Let's clean up Goldwood.
Let's do it, Judge.
About what would happen to this dad. But you don't listen, do you?
Max, be careful.
Montanus!
Shit!
Why don't you travel with us to see the president?
No thanks. Too dangerous.
This is one I have not seen this storyline before. And I got to tell you, I watched it. I was enraptured with it. Yeah, there were no breaks in it. I really enjoyed it from start to finish. And it just was really well done. And a cool story that apparently is based on a true story. I had no idea. But yeah, it includes sumo wrestlers in the Old West. Who knew? And they were traveling through, but they were a big part of the film. It was amazing. My only complaint was the judge in the... I'm kidding. Anyway, let me introduce you guys. This is Tatiana. This is Nick Bailey. Tatiana Neva. I hope I'm saying that. Could be
perfect.
Neva.
Neva, yeah, perfectly. You said it perfectly.
Nice. Now, you guys, it's interesting. I was reading your bios on IMDb. Oh, and for those... Yeah, I know. I'm going to get emails. Yes, we had Alexander here. We were having some technical difficulties and whatnot. So even though he's on the movie poster and everything, he's here in spirit, and we appreciate that and whatnot. But it's just going to be Tatiana and Nick with me today, and that's okay. That's okay. We'll get Alexander to make another movie, and we'll have him back on for that. How about that?
And believe me, he will make another movie.
I'm telling you, I don't think the guy sleeps. He's always got a million things happening.
He does not.
That's a true statement.
But I like having friends like that because it's inspiring. Because I don't know about you, yeah. Probably not you guys. For me, there's some mornings I wake up and I'm like, oh man, I don't know if I can do it today. I don't know if I can do it. And then a little voice in my head, Ben Kenobi in Star Wars, will be like, Alexander's out and he's making 3 movies today. So get up, Jamie, get to work. Yeah, okay. We're going to do it.
That's pretty rad. Because I've seen him work really hard since I met him. He almost never rests, especially when there's so much to do and to be met. And when he stops working, stuff just stops happening. He's the engine, so he can't really, he can't really relax.
No, it has to be done. Like bold,
yeah, and determined, like really committed. You know what they say? You want to get something done? You give it to a busy man.
That's right. That is very true. And it, he works out constantly. I think he's won, what, four Mr. Universes or something?
Three titles. He holds three Mr. Universe titles. Yeah, and then sells, I believe, 5-6 times a week.
Jeez, Louise.
Yeah.
It's crazy. That's crazy. I work on out on eating the Big Macs 5 times. No, it's not true, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not a big... As I get older, I'm not a big beef fan. I don't eat that much steak. I'm more of a chicken and fish guy now. I don't know what happened. That wasn't always the case. But Nick, I imagine you're in your kitchen. You've got all the... Yeah, that's true. You've got all your herbs behind you and what... Are you a cooking guy? One of those foodies?
I'm not in my own home, so those are not my plants. But I am, actually. I love to cook. And I love going out and eating, and I also love to cook at home. It's something I've always enjoyed. I got more into it actually during COVID once, I think as a lot of people did, got it more into
drinking. I feel like we all did.
More into
we
cooking.
Have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's definitely something I enjoy. I travel a lot, so it's not always easy, but that's okay. I do when
I get you. I get it. It's, man, it's hard to believe it's 2025, and you mentioned COVID. It was like 4 years ago. Doesn't it seem like 4 months ago? It doesn't seem 5 years ago.
5 years ago.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem that long ago to me. You know what I mean? I'm like,
time flies. Yeah. That's why you have to seize the moment and don't drag your feet. And that's not just, it's not just about making movies and being productive. It's about see that person that you meant to see, call that person that you meant to call. But don't put it off. Just do it. You go to take that trip you've been wanting to take if you can afford to, and time wise and financially. Don't put things off because you just never know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was talking to somebody doing a show last night. We were talking about that. And in my life, when I was younger, I lived a pretty fast life. I hung out in a lot of nightclubs for a couple of decades because that's where people that were buying my paintings, that's where they hung out. So I was there making, I was working. But you lived a fast life. And a lot of those people I lived the fast life with, I'm lucky that I made it through. I'll put it that way. You know what I mean? A lot of people didn't. And for whatever reason, when you're running your engine at twice as hot, you're going to go through it.
Yeah,
twice as quick. And but you gotta enjoy things, take those chances. I don't ever want to be on, when I'm finally on my deathbed, whenever, could be tomorrow, I don't want to be having regrets. Oh, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have, even if something doesn't work out, at least I tried. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Yeah, but you guys have done a lot. I looked at your, was looking at your, yeah, I know that's just on a barometer of work, but pretty impressive, pretty impressive. Tatiana, you were in Furiously French, and you're not even French. It's amazing. It's amazing. I think that's what it was called. I don't know. It's one of your.
I was the muse. I was the muse of the project.
I can believe that.
But yeah, you know, I have to say that the creative people probably understand the value of experiences more than anyone, because to creative person, first of all, we convert every experience, every feeling, every memory into art, and art is like literally what our lives revolve around. So it really kind of shows you the value of those things, because you literally, like, your lifestyle depends on it. Like, you literally approach it not only as,
putting food on the table depends on it.
Yeah, like you're like everything in your life, like that's like the main pillar that holds everything together and everything revolves around it. So I feel like we're the type of people who seek out experiences. And that's basically, I feel like that's why we're in the movie business, because like where else in this lifetime will you get a chance to live a bunch of different lives and of a bunch of different people in one same lifetime, which you can all remember them, like every single one of them. If past lives exist, then once we enter into this lifetime, we don't remember them. But as an artist, as an actor, you get to have those adventures and you get to keep those memories.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's interesting to me because you guys, for work, are not just having dreams, because you're having dreams anyway. You're a human being. Human beings have dreams. But you're living those dreams. And that is really cool. You know what I mean? The best job in the world. Because you could be in an office somewhere wearing uncomfortable shoes, selling insurance. And I'm not putting anything like anybody who does that down. I'm saying, how lucky, you know what I mean? Because that would kill me. First thing they do is say, Jamie, we're cutting that hair off. Yeah, I might try to put in a ponytail, but.
Yeah, it's interesting because the older that I've gotten, the more I appreciate and the more precious it is to me when I work. And I've been doing it for almost 30 years now. And there were points, like you have ups and downs in your career. And I've had points where things were really rocking and rolling. And I would almost take it for granted. And I'd be like, oh my God, I don't want to work 12 hours today. But you get in that. And now as time, you hit stumbling blocks and then you find ways over them, which is what we do now. We create our own movies because we understand the climate and the industry is very, things have shifted, things have changed, especially since COVID. I'll bring that up again. It really has shifted. For me, it was a huge shift that my workload went down like by almost to nothing, from pretty good to almost nothing. And as we create our own projects and we get to play roles that maybe we wouldn't always get considered for, we have these, I've always wanted to be in a Western. I grew up wanting to be in a Western.
Me too.
I grew up in Canada. What are the odds I'm going to make it, right? What are the odds that Tatiana and I are going to be in a Western? And we fit it beautifully. And I don't say that type of thing lightly where, you know, tooting my own horn, but as I felt 100% like I belonged there, and Tatiana and everyone.
You did a great job.
The sumo guys. Thank you. You too.
Yeah,
you
the too. Sumo guys did great in that.
Oh, they
was.
They were amazing. And that came.
I was thinking. Oh, finish your thought.
I didn't mean to interrupt. It is such a unique thing. And that came from Alex and Andrew Frund, who is one of the producers on the movie. He also works directly with the sumo wrestlers. He's their manager. He tours with them. They do exhibitions all over the world. One of them won the Emperor's Cup. The other was in the top five in the world. And these guys are the real deal. And so Alex has known Andrew for many years. They've been friends for a long time. And they talked about this because Alex had seen a movie called Red Sun. I don't know if you've seen it with, oh God, what's his name? Charles Bronson. And it's him and a samurai sword fighter. So it's East meets West. And that was like an inspiration that Alex had. As a matter of fact, we were preparing to do a horror movie. We had a script to a horror movie, and that's what we were planning on doing about a year and a half ago. And then we met one day and Alex was like, look, I have this idea. I don't know what you think. And we could pivot and just move into this. And him and Andrew had talked about coming up with something similar to Red Sun, but it's with sumo wrestlers. And Andrew has these guys. And so it just all came together. And he got Craig Hammond, the writer, to put together a script based on the story that him and Andrew came up with. I think it was mainly Alex's idea for the story. And then they came up with this script and it just took on a life of its own. But It is based on a real story. It's based on, and I've forgotten the name of the guy. When you watch the movie, you see they, do you remember, you know, the actual sumo wrestler that this was based on? I've forgotten his name.
Oh, no one can remember. Yeah, but it's based
but
on
it's,
the actual.
It's, you know,
it's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
but
amazing.
It was one. It was in the real story. It was one guy, and he traveled. I think they landed in Seattle, and they took a train across the country to meet Theodore Roosevelt, the president, in 1907, to introduce this sport that was something that had never been seen in the West. So it was the first time that there was, and initially the very first match actually did happen at the White House. But in our movie, we take a little bit of artistic license. There's two guys, you know, the train breaks down, which it didn't in reality. And they end up in this small town that's being overrun by these marauding brothers and hoodlums. And they get mixed up in all of it. And as my character is the one that has to try to bring people together to defend the town, and it's most definitely a challenge. And I know for Alex, it's something different than he's ever played. He's usually the hero, the guy that comes in and saves the day, and always
which
does
he
the
still
right
was.
Thing.
He just
yeah,
took
his character was interesting.
Take on it, like just
yeah,
the way the
more
kind of chemistry you and Alexander had in that.
It's more
project.
Human.
That was so great watching you walk through that. Western town, you have a shotgun, Alexander had this like big revolver gun. Yeah. Like you guys looked so cool.
It makes it interesting because our characters have challenges to overcome. Alex's character wants to gamble and meet women and enjoy himself, make money. Mm-hmm. He's not there to fight. Even though he has a firearm, he doesn't necessarily want to use it. He has it because he has to have it. You have one, you're in the Wild West. But eventually, like Tatiana said, he overcomes that. To me, that's more interesting because you're saying like, oh man, this is not where I want to be, but you know what? This is the right thing to do. I'm going to do the right thing. When the chips are down, I'm going to do the right thing. And it gives us a nice arc. We have challenges that we need. My character is somebody who's afraid. He's not somebody who, although he will step up, again, it's not something that he wants to be doing. He does it because he has to. And, and same with Tatiana's character, right? She doesn't run away. She runs, when the shit hits the fan, she runs to her store. That's like her first instinct.
Yeah, to protect her wife.
Her store.
Yeah.
And I would, that.
Her baby.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, to me, it was like, it's a town that has, we're trying to, they mentioned at one point where they're trying to be more like some of the bigger, more populated cities on the East Coast. This is the early 19th. They're trying to get out of that sort of real lawlessness.
Okay, corral.
Yeah, exactly, lawlessness.
Yeah.
So you have somebody who has a dress store, and you have a judge who wants, they have an ordinance where they're not allowed having firearms in the town for obvious reasons. They're trying to make it more civilized to create that something that's
you make more money that way.
Yeah,
you don't make a lot of money. The community doesn't do well if everybody's killing each other. It's a bad scene. One of the things when Alexander at the beginning of the film, after the credits and whatnot, and I'm not gonna, folks, I don't want to spoil anything for you, but he comes riding into town on his horse, his character, and you meet the characters, and there's introduction to all of the characters, Nick's character, Tatiana's character, everybody. And I'm no expert. I've never written a doctoral thesis on the Old West or anything. But from what I understand, the Old West, you have Hollywood Old West, classic Hollywood Old West, where it's all cowboys and Indians and stuff. Nobody has an accent. Everybody's very Americanized. And the reality of the Old West was, these were people that left other places and were trying to get a fresh start and coming out. And you had people from all different kinds of backgrounds and cultures, languages and accents and all of it. And that's one of the things, and I'm not just talking about the sumos, because the sumo guys, obviously, that's really illustrated just from their appearance. But one of the great things about this, you have all these interesting characters that you immediately start to allot and you want to know more about. What's his backstory? What's Sybil's backstory? It was an amazing hook. The movie had an amazing hook. Look, drew me in. You know what I mean? I was like, wow, these are interesting people that I care about. That I, at least to the point where I want to know more about them. And it's pieced out a little bit. Like your character, Nick, like we were talking before we started, the frustration was palatable. You really conveyed that frustration. Like, Jesus, we're trying to do something here, people, and they're going to burn the town down. We all got to do our part and throw in. And everybody apparently has enough money to drink, but not enough interest in keeping that money, apparently. But everything, I don't want to spoil anything. It's not just a shoot 'em up Western, folks, is what I'm trying to convey. At least I got more out of it than that. This was a very enjoyable, I don't know what it was, 2 hour movie length. It wasn't a short, but it was very enjoyable to watch and an experience. You mentioned Palm Springs. Palm Springs, I used to live in San Diego and went to Palm Springs many times. It does get a little desolate out there. You're traveling out there, taking the old 15 up to Vegas for the weekend, man, it gets a little rough. You get 40 minutes out of civilization. You're like, geez, where am I at?
So the location itself is called the White Horse Ranch. And I forgot the name of the actual area. It's not Palm Springs. I always say like about half hour outside of Palm Springs because I can never remember the name of the actual.
Right.
Yeah. But we would commute. It's like we stayed in a hotel that was about a maybe 25 minute drive from the actual location. That was basically in the desert. There was little homes here and there. We were on these sandy desert roads getting to the actual location, which was built by a guy who emigrated from Germany in the 70s. And he also had a fascination and a love of Westerns. And he started to build this town. He built it. I'm sure he didn't do it all by himself, but it's his creation, piece by piece.
What a smart investment, because I don't know. I'm not a gambling person, but I don't think Westerns are going anywhere. That's definitely an American staple. Like anything, there's trends will ebb and flow, but they always come back. You know what I mean? You might go a couple years without seeing a new Western, but then all of a sudden you do. It's just something people dig. Your character, I will spoil this, he's a good guy. Wears a black hat. I'm like, that was a smart move because it throws you off. He pushes it from that classic Hollywood tropes even further. And, you know, where it's...
Because
you see a lot of those old Westerns. Everybody's clean shaven. I'm like, what, he woke up out in the wilderness and shaved? Had a Bic razor with him? Come on.
I actually patterned him after Cooper in High Noon. That's like the inspiration. And I had asked the costume designer if she could try to give me that look. Because there's parallels to his character and my character. He was the sheriff, so it was a bit... I wasn't the sheriff, but that's the one item that's missing. If you look at his wardrobe and mine, it's almost identical. I just don't have that star that he has. The pocket watch. I wanted a pocket watch. And these were all things that were important to me that I felt the connection to that character. And I like the idea of using other characters or having an ode to someone else. And I just love the whole... just the wardrobe of Westerns. And Tatiana, actually, I'd love to ask you your process with all, because Tatiana, the wardrobe that you have is unbelievable.
75 pounds of pretty on her, you know what I mean? It was like, very
how
impressive.
How much were you involved with that whole process and like in terms of working with costume designer and all that stuff?
Well, a lot. Thank you for your question. The We had the stylist working on set, but there was much to do. And I used to work as a stylist years ago. Like, that was like, I always done something parallel to modeling and acting, because just doing that, like, never seemed enough for me. So I got into all kinds of different creative outlets, like wardrobe styling.
That's
I've done
smart.
It professionally. It's, yeah, and it also keeps you occupied, keeps things interesting, gives you more control over, understanding over how the process works. So there's a lot of things on the movie set that I've actually done, and it really helps me feel at home there. And makeup, wardrobe, or the things that I've used to do for a living parallel to acting and modeling. And then I have to quit because I got so busy with being in front of the camera that I just wasn't able to keep up. It was too much for me at that point, so I had to quit. But the skill is still there. And when we were working on the pre-production for the movie, I asked, like, hey, guys, if we have a lot of stuff to do and there's always a time crunch, maybe I can help. Maybe I can style my own character. And if you don't like anything, then we can go to the stylist and say, hey, can you please help us out? But can I at least send you some ideas? So I started sending inspiration. I started sending some ideas, and I found basically all the pieces myself, but I got all the pieces approved by Alexander Joe, and I believe they showed it to someone who was handling the styling for the picture. And
oh, yeah.
It actually worked out quite well. I'm glad you guys liked the outfits, because I wanted to paint a picture of a lady who is like this fashionista who stands out. She really does not belong in this city, and I wanted to communicate it. She dresses. There's one look at her and you're like, what is she doing here?
Yeah.
Like, I wanted it to raise
but
questions.
But you achieved your goal.
But I also didn't want to look...
Thank you. Absolutely.
But I also didn't want her to look like a saloon girl. So I wanted her to look like a sophisticated, beautiful woman who likes to dress up. Because, and that's the reason why a lot of my outfits were geared towards elegance. And you start seeing her showing the shoulder, and the cleavage starts to make an entrance a little bit. Only after, like, she kind of makes the connection with this tall, handsome,
yeah,
beautiful
stranger, you know what I mean?
That comes into town that she instantly feels drawn to. And then you start seeing her, like, getting a little more flirtatious with the outfits that she's wearing. But for the most part, like, I wanted her to come across as a good woman who just likes to be feminine and attract attention, because being a store owner and a business lady and entrepreneur, this is how I would imagine she would market her business,
yeah,
in this town. She would connect with people, like you said, that when you used to go to those club scene, the reason why you went is because you were networking there. Those were the people who bought your art. That was exactly, precisely my thought process.
Yeah, what she was doing.
Yeah, so
absolutely.
Every time she goes out standing out like this, somebody is going to see that outfit and ask questions, because it doesn't look like an ordinary, like, everyday clothes. And this is how she gets her clients. And this town was basically geared to attract people. I can imagine that it was probably somewhere, there's a railroad going through it, so it was probably like a pit stop between two bigger towns. For someone like Sybil, it's easier to build her business in a growing town and grow with it and be the biggest fish in a pond,
yeah,
rather than try her chances in San Francisco or New Orleans, for example, which is already established. There's already a ton of competition there.
It's interesting. I was just talking to a friend of mine who, she's an independent filmmaker, and she's making, just wrapped up on it, a movie that's a killer movie, a serial type thing, set in the 60s. And I don't want to say the victims, but I don't know the term. There's two gals and they're flight attendants. And this is 1960s, so they dress in 1960s attire. And we were kind of laughing. It reminded me, here you are as a real person who has a history in fashion. You understand the mechanics of fashion and whatnot. I'm sure this movie wasn't the first time you've navigated a corset or things of that nature. But this, my friend was telling me, she goes, yeah, these girls, because she got these young actresses, and I'm sure they're great, but they had never worn nylons before. They didn't know how to put those on properly. They kept ripping them up or whatever. And she said, yeah, she goes, man, we were spending a lot of money on nylon just because they didn't know what they were doing with them. And when you were talking about that, I was thinking about that, and I'm like, yeah, they needed somebody who understood the mechanics of the costuming. I know you got the pocket watch. You're going to wear that pocket watch again. Every gal loves seeing a guy with a pocket watch. That's what you go to. You'll be...
Well, being a guy in a movie like that, I had the same wardrobe, which was actually very convenient. I just had to wear the same thing. And I remember there was some
I was so jealous
where,
of you.
We would jump from one scene to another, and Tatiana would have... She'd have to get out of this elaborate wardrobe that she probably spent 40 minutes
this
putting
armor.
On. And now she's got to go put... I think there was one day, you should speak to this, Tatiana, but I felt like you had done about 4 wardrobe changes. And every single one was these very elaborate, the white one and then the red one and the blue one. And I was like, that's... Even me just putting those cowboy boots on sometimes was a hassle. I can only imagine what you had to contend with in that heat, no less.
Yeah, it's hot. Oh, you're out in the desert.
That is so true. Thank
and
you,
you gotta
Nick,
look
for,
fresh.
Thank you, Nick, for this, for noticing. I appreciate it. But it really was a lot of work. That was probably the most challenging part about this project for me, because I was having a great time. We all were, like, despite of when it was hot, when it was cold, didn't matter, because we were living our dream and we were so excited to do it. And we had an amazing team. I mean, like... Alexander, Nick, Joe, all of our guys that we worked with, they're all so nice. It's just a pleasure to be around those people, just in general. And then you get to also create something beautiful with them. And it's true. My character actually had, she appeared across 6 days in the script. So every day for a woman is a different outfit. It's a man... can look about the same, especially if he is playing the role of the traveler. Of course, like, they travel wearing about the same, like, they travel light, they wear about the same clothes. If it's a man who works like in law and order, chances are he's wearing uniform. So men don't change clothes as drastically as women do. For a woman, every day. And it doesn't matter which period, which era she lives in.
Is very elaborate.
Every day it's like, how do I feel and what am I going to do today? Her wardrobe needs to match those things. Like, it needs to match where she's going.
She never rolled into the scene with jean shorts and flip-flops on. You know what I mean? No, it's in the future. It's going to be very easy when they make these 2025 period pieces, because the clothing is not elaborate. You know what I mean? It's going to be a walk in. Period pieces are interesting. I love period pieces when they're well, because I'm that guy, because I don't know, maybe it's my job or whatever, but when they first showed the saloon, I'm looking at the stuff that there's a horn on the wall. I can tell you everything that was in that room. You know what I mean? From the piano next to the door, all of that. I like period pieces like that, but I've never made a movie. I always tell Alexander, I'm like, you chose the expensive art. I don't have the money to be making movies. I buy canvas. I'm good. Paintbrushes. But the interesting thing with period pieces is they've got to be, because one little thing, if it's not right, will throw it off. The illusion, the dream bubble bursts. I have a friend of mine who was trying to make a World War II horror movie. And of course, there's Nazi zombies in it, and they're filming it in Cincinnati, of all places. And he's like, man, he goes, it took me an hour and a half to get everything perfect. And then a plane flew over. So we had to wait for the plane to get out of the shot. Because you can't have a plane. You can't have a 747 flying over. It ruins.
It happens, yeah. And then you have to redo the whole scene.
We had plenty of that.
What was your most challenging thing on set?
I didn't see one windmill turbine or anything. You guys did a great job.
We had challenges. There were the dunes in the back. There would be guys on motorcycles and 4x4s sometimes. helicopters, planes. That's pretty standard. Even in a regular movie, if there's an airplane flying by, it's going to interfere with the sound. So we have to wait till it goes. And so, yeah, we definitely, and we had to be mindful. There could be a vehicle in the back or something. So we really had to pay attention to make sure that everything was neatly tucked away.
I remember that guy on the motorcycle that you were talking
in the
about.
Desert.
It was so funny because when a plane is flying by, it usually flies by pretty quickly and then we're clear to keep shooting. And then there was this one or two maybe, like guys on motorcycles, and they just, yeah, they were just having fun. Like they were just living their best life out there. And we're standing there waiting for him to stop, to leave.
Yeah.
He's not leaving.
Yeah.
In all that gear. Oh, man. From an artistic point of view.
You want to go outside?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. From a painting point of view, you guys are filming out in the desert, very bright, and a lot of, you've got buildings and reflection of light and all. What a nightmare to get it right and consistent. That.
Yeah. No, it's,
I don't know, man.
It's challenging.
I don't know if I could do it.
It's definitely challenging, but
what
kind of helped us. Oh, my God. Saved us.
Is this your dog, Nick, or is it who you're visiting?
It's who I'm visiting. I'm just taking care of him.
I thought maybe you traveled. Tatiana, I could see with a little dog in her purse hanging out in Beverly Hills or something. I'm kidding, Tatiana. I'm kidding. If you have a dog, it's probably a big dog.
I have a purse.
Russian wolfhound or something.
Oh, yeah. Actually,
you know, Tatiana, you probably have about 95
for a dog. I love wolves.
You got a sword on your couch.
I do.
Can you imagine, Nick? It's like you're a robber. You get a fresh stocking to put on your face. You're like, this is the condo I'm going to rob. I'm breaking in here.
No stocking. Tatiana, if somebody runs over to my sofa, home, I want them to see my face.
Yes.
No, but I'm saying that the robber would put
them.
But you would grab your sword. And they would think, I've made a mistake. I need to reevaluate.
That's the thing when you break in and you think it's going to go smoothly and there's a Russian woman with a sword meeting. You're like, hi.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, protecting her shoes. And they're $100 pillows. Those are some high pillows.
Nico, stop.
I see something like that in my future as soon as my wife sees this. Anyhow, what's a great film. I want everybody to check it out. We have links. We have all the links to everybody's Facebook, everybody's IMDb pages and whatnot. And as always, folks, when you find a cool, and especially independent film or band or something, somebody that's cool that you dig, let your friends know. The reason you're friends with your friends is you guys all have common interests. And if you're thinking something's cool, they're going to think it's cool. And help get the word out. But importantly, I want to say in the links below, we've got a link to the Zuma Play. You can watch. Doesn't cost you anything. You can, as soon as you're finished watching this, click on that link and watch the movie. We will have the... You've seen the trailer. I'll be putting the trailer in somewhere in here before we get going. But yeah, the trailer's amazing. The movie's amazing. Click that link, man.
Thanks.
And also,
thank you so much.
I didn't know. I didn't see because I didn't look really. But I'm one of those cats. If I watch a movie on, say, Amazon, one of these streaming services, I don't write a thesis paper, but I definitely leave a comment of what I thought. And I think that helps with I don't know how it works, the algorithms and stuff, but do that. And I'm sure that you can leave a comment on Zuma Play there. But yeah, the link's right there, man. The link is right and doesn't cost you anything. That's the amazing thing. What was the length of shooting? Did this just, was this like a weekend? It's got to be longer than that.
Oh, we did it over two different stretches of two different week-long stretches. I don't know the exact number of days, but a couple of weeks of
shooting. Amazing.
Definitely a challenge, but we're up for it. And I think we're really happy with the final product.
Nick, your character had a lot of lines too. You had a lot of dialogue. Everybody did, really. But there's a lot to, that's what you do though. You're a professional at this and whatnot. I've never asked anybody about this and I don't know. I know Joe's wicked cool and on all fronts so far that I know about him. is he one to rewrite, or do you hit you guys with, okay, we're changing this and we're doing, does that, and does that throw an actor or an actress off their game when that happens in the process of filming?
Most definitely it happens, and you have to be prepared for it. When you get in the actual scene, you realize, oh, that line doesn't really work that, guys, we're doing it. But yeah, it doesn't throw me off personally. It can, depending on, sometimes you get stuck. I try not to get too stuck on the dialogue in advance. Easier said than done, because you want to show up off what they call off book, knowing your lines. You don't want to be memorizing lines as you're shooting. There's also like a kind of spontaneity to it, learning it as you're doing it. I didn't find, we would make adjustments to the scenes. Joe was really just open to us. If there was something Tatiana was like, you know what, I think I want to say it this way or cut a line there. Alex made lots of changes. I made lots of changes. I would rewrite stuff. I would go to him and just be like, look, I've got this speech here. Is it okay if I just knock this part out, or this is a little redundant or whatever, I'm going to tighten it up. He'd be like, yeah, go for it. As long as we get across what we need to get across in the scene, because each scene hopefully is there for a purpose and has a reason to be there. And as long as we're getting that, whatever, that the integrity of it is still there. Yeah, no, it can throw you off on occasion, but generally speaking, it's just something that we develop over years of work.
Experience, yeah, wisdom. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's folks, I just realized I haven't even said the name of the movie. It's The Wild West. It's called The Wild West. When you go to Zoom,
Wild West.
Right there, but it's The Wild West.
The Wide West, yeah.
The Wide West. Yeah. What am I saying? Of course. That's funny. It isn't The Wild West. It's The Wide West.
Joe was actually really flexible as far as working with him, because he basically gave us a lot of kind of room to explore our characters. And we showed up off book. I have the same philosophy as Nick, that when you show up on set, you need to already know your lines. But I also love the, like Nick said, the spontaneity, being in the moment, because sometimes you get the most authentic reaction when you feel like saying something, if you just go ahead and say it. And Joe is very flexible about it. And he was like, don't worry, if you do something I don't like, I'm going to tell you, I'll let you know. So far, I'm loving everything, so keep going. And anytime we wanted to change something or add something, I asked him a couple of times, can I say this and that? I feel like it would open the character a little more. And he was like, can I hear it? I would say it to him, and he's like, yeah, I like it. Let's go with it. So he's really
awesome,
allowing the actor to live in the moment and really merge with the character.
That's fantastic. Joe is interesting. I really like him. I have since I first met him. I've known him for a while now. He's one of my favorite people on social media that I follow, because every day is something. He posts these crazy, he's like, here I am hanging in the middle of a herd of Texas Longhorns or something. I'm like, Joe, get out of there. What are you going to get killed being in there? What's wrong with you? He's always got a smile on his face. He's just a cool
man
cat.
Of many talents.
I'm telling you. I think I bugged him one time. We got into a big conversation about commercial real estate investing. Everybody's like, what? I find that topic fascinating. And so does he. But the interesting thing is, he not only directed this, folks, he's the villain. And I was worried when I saw that in the write-up and whatnot, in the synopsis, because I'm like, Joe's too nice of a guy. He can't be a villain. Come on now. That can't work. It worked. He was a great villain.
He has that.
Definitely.
Yeah, so it was something new for both Joe and Alexander in this movie, because Joe explored the role of the villain for the first time, and Alexander, he didn't really deviate. He was still a hero in the movie, but he explored a new way of showing up as the hero. Somebody who basically just got caught up, like everybody except for even the judge, if you think about it, gets caught off guard by what's going on. Because it's like none of those people technically were supposed to be handling this type of situations. It's the sheriff's job. But because of the way the story goes, they all have to step up, and the judge doesn't have anywhere to go. This is his hometown. These are his people. He has to stand for them, whether he's prepared for it or not. That's why I loved the way Nick portrayed his character, because you can tell there's layers of he managed to bring stoicism and bravery and layer it with, you can tell the man is overwhelmed, like he's frustrated and probably scared, but doesn't want to show it. There's so many layers to his performance. And Alexander was just so fantastic to work with. I am so grateful to him. He worked so hard. He still works so hard. To be honest with you, we're all wrapped and we're enjoying. The movie is out and everybody's calling, hey, I've seen you, you were great. Thank you so much. And he's still working. His work doesn't stop there.
No, you guys know you're in the movie business. And for those of you at home who don't realize, when they say cut or that's a wrap, I guess mythologically, I don't know if they really say that, but when the filming's done, there's still half the movie process in front of them. There's editing and then all those logos at the beginning of a movie and sometimes the end, those are business meetings that have to happen and everybody's jockeying for the best position and that's their business. And there's a lot of that stuff that it isn't just action and that's a wrap. There's a lot that goes involved in that. And Zuma Play just doesn't call people up randomly, hey, we want to put your movie on. Conversations have to be had, contracts and stuff. All the fun stuff nobody ever thinks about.
It's a thankless side of it. Of producing. And you have a script and then you have to find the money and the people and the team. And then you actually have to film it and hopefully get everything you need in order to have the tools that the editor needs in order to be able to assemble the film. And you've got all the music and the scoring and color correction and visual effects, and it just goes on and on. And then once you finally have your movie, now you have to find somebody to distribute it. And then you need to be able to publicize that and market it and get it to people. And you're helping us with that. So thank you. We appreciate the support. And because it's all part of it. And that's Alex's driving force. He's all about publicity and selling. Like we don't want to have fun and make good movies, but we want to make the next one. And the way to make the next one is to have this one generate money so that we can make the next one. And that's the mentality. It's always, let's look forward.
Absolutely.
But it's a real grind. And like you said, Zumo doesn't knock on your door and say, hey, we'll take your movie. You got to find it. Got to give them the film that meets all the quality control requirements that they want. And then the process begins of getting it out to the people.
And at the same time, folks, that you're doing the 10,000 things that Nick just mentioned on this, is that phone is ringing from all they call them producers in the movie business, but they're investors. There's people that wrote a check and suddenly they have a once in a lifetime opportunity for something else. And they, when am I going to get the rate of my return on that investment there? When am I going to see a check back? And you're like fielding those calls and calming them down and say, well, the movie isn't even out yet. It hasn't generated anything. You
got time.
Be patient on this. And that's the kind of business side of things, folks, that breeds ulcers.
And even like rescheduling, because we had an international cast. Some of our guys are from Japan and they are on a tight schedule.
Yeah.
So you have to catch them when like they have a window. Nick is international. He's traveling all the time. So we had to make sure that everybody is available at the same time and kind of work around that. And things happen sometimes, like we were planning to shoot on one day, we had to reschedule, which was lucky for us because it was raining that day, so we wouldn't be able to shoot anyway. But the moment that something needs to be rescheduled, like one day, right? Like it doesn't seem like a lot, but you have to call everybody, rebook everything. Yeah. You have to make sure everybody calls everybody in their lives that they're connected to and make sure that their schedule is adjusted. If somebody can't make it because of the change, you have to go out there and find new people like to replace them. It's many intricate details and they're moving all the time, so many moving parts, and producers have to handle all of that without complaining.
Yeah, it's understandable when a producer gets a little grumpy. I can picture it.
We
need Nick back for this reshoot, but he's dyed his hair green for his next movie. So what are we going to do now? The horse wrangler is sick at home with the flu. What are we going to do? It's tough. That's why I was reading about, of course, like everybody was, that terrible tragedy with that Rust film. And that all had to stop for a while. I'm like, that wasn't all done. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of people that, truck drivers and stuff, that counting on checks. And it's, like I said, it's just, it blows my mind that any movies even get made or television shows. It's so involved. But it's cool. I still think you guys have the coolest job in the world. You get to travel around and be famous. My job's boring. It's nothing exciting. COVID happened. People ask me, they're like, so has it changed your work? And I'm like, no, man, I've been preparing this for 20 years now. This is a Tuesday for me. I'm staying home working. What was weird is my wife works outside the house, and suddenly she was home. We had to have, I don't know if you guys ever saw the movie The Shining. I felt like Jack Torrance when he had that conversation with Wendy about interrupting his train of thought. I'm like, when the door to the studio is closed, I need you to respect that. Nobody wants to be that guy. But yeah, it's cool. I'm so glad you guys do what you do, because I got to tell you, independent film got us through COVID, because everybody ran out of Marvel movies to watch real quick, or TV shows or whatever. I remember I was watching The Blacklist hot and heavy, and they're having to animate the last scene in that, and because nobody could work. And so we were watching. Suddenly, every older person I knew figured out the Roku players and were watching indie films. Got us through it. I think I salute you guys. I think what you do is very important. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you guys for making the great films and whatnot. I follow you guys now on all your social media and whatnot. It's great meeting you guys. And I can't wait to have you on for your next project.
Yeah,
you
we
know
look
what
forward
I mean?
To it.
Which I'm sure.
And there's
Alexander's
more cool stuff
got
coming,
14.
So stay tuned.
It's he never stops. That's good. Thank you, and thank you guys out there for watching and listening to this. We appreciate it. I will end the show. If you're one of my friends or fans out there and out west, my advice, I'm not getting into a political thing. I don't do that. But my advice is keep your head on the swivel and be smart. Be smart. Do not make dumb decisions. Stay out of bad situations is my advice.
That's good advice.
Take that how you will. Yeah. And if you're traveling, don't wind up in a Karen video on YouTube. I find them hilarious, but lay off the booze before you travel. How about that? Drink once you get to where you're going. You ain't going to win that conversation with the police when they're telling you to get off the plane.
Sure.
You've already lost. Anyhow, have a good one, everybody. Remember to be kind and be patient. What you put out, hopefully, tends to come back towards you. All I'm saying.
Thank you.
Have a great one, guys. And thank you for putting up with our tech nonsense and whatnot.
Thank you.
Keep doing what you're doing. You both are real, real good at it. Absolutely.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, absolutely.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited.
Hola, Oli, Pop Rocks Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hey, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.